It's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. When I see you again.
It's the most important thing in life will always be the people in this room, right here, right now. Salute me, familia.
Started out small to a real bond, cause we're brothers first, cause we're been through a lot, but it ain't over. We gon' keep it going.
You'll always be with me.
Change the game without even knowing.
And you'll always be my brother.
How can we not talk about family when family's all that we got? Everything I would do, you were standing there by my side. And now you gon' be there for the last ride. How can we not talk about family when family's all?
Welcome to another week of Cast and the Furious, the bond that will never be broken and the love that will never get lost. That's between me and my co-host. I'm Jonathan. This week, also known as No Knees Denise.
Oh,
my
yeah,
racer's name.
I wanted to bring that up.
And and my co-host with the most,
Sloppy Murren.
Sloppy Murren,
aka Mrs. Alpha.
Mrs. Alpha, hey, what's up, Mrs. Alpha? Hey, we're two ladies today.
Yeah,
gender based.
That's what we're doing this time.
Because you know what, Murren, ladies can also be racers. Okay, you jerk.
Ladies can also be hackers. And you can have lady hackers. You can have lady racers. It's 2015.
Girl power.
Whole new world.
Mm-hmm. And to talk about girl power and the power of the Spice Girls, we've brought in our own Spice Girl. From
Which
the
one?
Mogwai, from the Mogwai Minute, Neil.
Stodgy Spice,
Stodgy Spice,
the new
Moist
flavor from
spice.
Twinings.
How are you guys?
Neil, Spice.
Long time listener, first time self invited wow. guest.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just, if you want to be on our show, you just if I know you well enough, and you're like, I want to be on. I'm like, sure.
He really did. He's like, hey, next time you do a chunk, have me on with George. Like, okay, I guess we're doing a podcast.
All right. No, it makes it easier because otherwise we have to reach out to people.
Yeah, that sucks.
I'm helping you out.
Yeah. That guests would come to us and ask to be on. Then we're just like, yeah, okay, then it's
I mean, I would much rather. Can we do that from now on? Everyone from now on, this show and Mission Impossible, just come to me with a guest, like your own paired up in twos, and just come to me and be like, I'd like
pay
to be
yourself
on the show.
Up.
I'll be like, fine.
Jonathan hasn't introduced me yet because I'm always here, but hey, it's me,
here
George.
Is
again.
Constant
you're
co-host.
Always, you're always on the podcast. You're usually just listening, though.
To be fair, you haven't been on in like four episodes, maybe. I cannot.
True, I was on the
sure
beginning
that,
of
but...
six.
Okay.
Right?
Maybe
beginning
four?
Of six?
Maybe three.
What about the
half?
Other ones? What about, you've been on each one, right? Each
I've
movie.
Been on every one
oh,
of
yeah.
them
at least once.
At least once, if not twice.
Probably there's probably been a few where you were on for more than one chunk.
Well, George has a new job, and George's new job is going to take him away as our co-host all the time, so it sucks.
I mean, I'll still be here. I'll just be able to talk about cars more.
Oh yeah, you're just such a gearhead.
Yeah,
this is a good chunk, guys. This is
one of my favorites.
Absolutely. We were back to precision driving, really cool, well executed set pieces, and just like stuff that actually feels like it has stakes, and that's been a minute.
And we're big on, and this is the, I can't remember if this is the beginning of this song or this little music cue, the bam, 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 bam. I don't remember if it's, I think it's happened before, but this is like the first time it's like,
kicks
every
in,
time
right?
I hear that song, I smile because I'm just like, this is so stupid. I love it.
Is this like, when like the team assembles, the Avengers assemble?
Yeah, it's when this music, we should get, since Neil's never been on, he's a first timer. First of all,
have a racer name?
Yeah, do we have one? I think we have one. Is it like Pram or something?
I have my own. Thank you very much. Should
jammer?
I just tell you what
Pram
it is?
Jammer.
Yeah, no, I came up with mine, right? And my racer name is the Grill Man.
The Grill Man?
The Grill Man.
You like to cook?
When others are off all doing the high-octane race, street racing shit, I'll be manning the grill, making sure the sausages are all ready when everyone's finished, right?
So a lot of sausage in this movie to take care of, so we need somebody on the grill. Yeah,
that also has a double meaning, right? Because cars have grills sometimes. You know,
Big grill in the front, and right occasionally someone you know, pisses off the grill man. Okay. And while it's rare,
you burn you know, a sausage.
I'll get behind the wheel myself and smoke some dude's ass.
You're smoking ass and grilling.
I don't
sausage.
Think that means smoking the same ass. Thing over there as it does here.
I think maybe it really not. Doesn't.
Do you want to know what the grill man drives when he needs to race?
Do I
step in?
Absolutely.
So you can Google it now, right? It's a 2021 Chevy Silverado Yenko SC Limited Edition. You got 800 pre-NOS horsepower, and the description in MotorTrend.com is it's like a rock if a rock had 800 horsepower and was shot out of a cannon.
You've heard the term dad bod. We're going to call you dad rod because you are picking. You have the grill man.
Well, I'm with, on the barbecue.
The daddiest dad car ever.
Got a real gearhead on
it's
our hands.
It's got stow and go storage.
It's got that. What's that thing that comes down from the bumper that allows you the little bumper gate that allows
truck
you
to step
up? No, the little step up. There's now a new
the step. Oh, you need a step because it's lifted. I've obviously lifted it. Right.
It's totally got truck nuts.
Because Dad Rod can't just jump up into the bed of the truck. He's got he's got bad knees from sciatica.
Standing around that grill all the time.
Yes.
So
exactly.
Is it kind of like a demon love child between a Chevy and a or a
whatever that
some
was,
sort of
whatever
assault the other vehicle. Thing was. Yeah, like a
charge,
buggy.
Dodge Charger and a weird ATV tank thingy.
Now, I'm wondering though, do we pronounce it like with a weird British pronunciation? Like, is it the Grillman?
Grillman.
Is it the Grillman?
It's the Grillsman.
The Grillsman.
I think the is important as well. It's like you got to go see the Grillman.
Yeah,
because
we have Wheelman, but I don't think Wheelman ever goes by the Wheelman.
No, so it's not.
No, it's just Wheelman.
The Grillsman.
The Grillsman. I love that movie. That was a good movie.
The first one was great. The second one, not so much.
Yeah, it wasn't as good. Yeah.
It was just a whiskey advertisement.
Anyway, I like the idea that angry cook, right, who just occasionally storms out and just, right, get in there.
Now, well, you've got kind of a Gabby Hayes. Well, here's a term, Gabby Hayes. You've got kind of a Gabby Hayes look going on. Like hey, Roy, I grilled up some. Okay. One, I just mentioned Gabby Hayes and Roy Rogers.
You're
no
so
one that is.
No one under the age of 70 knows who that is. So don't worry about it. Gabby Hayes is the quintessential. Have you seen Blazing Saddles? He's the frontier gibberish guy with the hat that had the weird flip up.
It's like the original, the cookie character. Like he's the, you know.
He's like, I'll make you guys. Oh, heck yeah. He's the comic relief of 50s and 40s. Cowboy movies.
Well, the only reason I know who Roy Rogers is because of Die Hard.
Okay.
Oh,
You enjoyed a Coke with a little bit of grenadine in it every once in a while. That's what the Grillsman likes to have, his Roy Rogers. That's called a Roy Rogers, Neil, in case you didn't know.
Okay, it's that drink. Is it?
It's a male. It's the male. It's Rob the male Roy, Shirley like Temple. Roy. A Shirley Temple okay. Sprite. A Roy Rogers is a
Coke
with grenadine.
Also, just
doesn't sound
Coke.
Good. Is it
it's like
full
a cherry
fat,
Coke?
Is it full
Coke.
Fat Coke or is it?
It's cherry Coke. It's always full fat Coke, Neil.
I don't do the full fat. You can't do it, George.
You can.
That's
just
where the dad
bod
comes from.
Have you ever said full of fat Coke? No.
That was a regular point of reference on the Mogwai Minute, Jonathan.
I don't listen to that podcast.
Full fat.
Full fat Coke.
It is kind of insane that you're adding basically like pure sugar to pure sugar. Like it's just two versions of having liquid sugar mixed together.
It's unnecessary.
But it's good. I mean, it is. I like a Shirley Temple.
Roy Rogers. It's good if you're 12
or Murrin.
I mean, I don't know the last time I had one, but like it's.
Were you 12?
That you want into that sort of thing. Like,
so Slops gets by.
Slops.
I'm almost done watching the chunk 109.
This is why he slops, because he is the co-host of this podcast.
Not
and
quite
has not done his research
the
for the recording.
Hey, can we come on and vamp for 40 minutes while I watch my chunk?
Just stretch it out.
I can podcast and watch a movie at the same time.
Like I do
I
it all
half,
the time.
I can half pay attention to both things. It's fine.
Good.
I've got a question for you guys then while we need to pad this out for Murrin to catch up. What is the name of this movie?
Great question. It is The Furious Seven. It's Furious 7.
Oh, you're adding the to it now?
The Wheelsman.
The Grillsman.
The Furious 7.
Is that really the name? Because I got conflicting information on the internet. What a shock. What a shock.
Overseas, it's had a lot of different names. What did you get?
Overseas, it's called, in the UK, it's called Bumbly Cock 7.
I don't know what we had. I don't know what it was called. I don't think it was Furious 7. Yeah, that would be much better. I think it was just Fast and Furious 7.
It might have been. Yeah. But here it was.
It says titled on screen as Fast and Furious 7.
Right.
We had this whole thing with 6 where it's called Fast 6 or Fast and Furious 6. It's, yeah.
So it's Fast 6, Furious 7.
Yeah.
Right.
And then just call it
Fate with the 8. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You got to do something clever, haven't you?
8 of the Furious.
Yeah.
We just call it Wild Speed Sky Mission.
Mm-hmm.
Way less.
And we get that in this chunk. That's what this chunk is. This chunk is Sky Mission.
This is the Sky Mission. This part is Sky Mission.
What can they do with 9 then? What can you do with a 9?
Well, we'll see at some point. It came. It's done.
As of now, it's called F9, The Fast Saga, which is not great.
I would probably change that. Who knows?
Maybe they'll come up with something new.
They just call it F9.
F9. F9.
The Grillsman.
It's F9. You know what? It's F9.
It's not F8. It's F9.
It's F9.
Well, we've gotten diminishing returns as we've seen from the box office. We all agree. 7. This, the one we're in now.
This was the peak, right?
This may be the greatest.
Yeah. 1.5 billion.
It's the best one, though, isn't it? Sure.
Money wise, I think it is the best. This is the one we all love.
Well, money wise, it's inarguably the best. Yes. That's just a fact.
It's a fact.
It's a fact.
But this is.
Do you think it's the best one, though, from an entertainment perspective?
I both was happy and cried in this movie. I have not done that in any of the other ones.
Yeah.
This is the only movie I cried.
Yeah, so far I've said this is my favorite of the series.
It's favorite.
If that holds up through all the chunks. In my
I've only seen this one once in the theater, and I remember in the theater just being completely blown away the entire time.
Oh my god, yeah.
So blown in the theater.
Excuse me?
You're blown in the theater.
Yep. I gasped and laughed and cried too.
All in the space of 2 minutes.
What's her name? Mrs. Ryan Reynolds is gonna give you a blowjob in a theater.
What?
I don't remember. Oh, god damn it.
Wait,
this is the second time where I'm trying to make a joke and I don't remember the name of the person I'm making a joke about.
Okay, Blake Lively is the person who's Mrs.
No,
Ryan
previous
Reynolds.
Before her.
Oh,
Canadian
you mean
singer.
Alanis Morissette. Yeah.
It went something you went down on.
She only does that for Dave Coulier.
Yeah, that was in one of her songs. Only 90s kids remember.
Wow, we're talking about Gabby Hayes and 90s music.
Roy Rogers.
We're cool.
Anyway, now that I've stopped everything dead, I have caught up. I watched the last 10 minutes while we were talking, so I don't think I'll really have much to say about it. But
all right, good.
Did you guys see this week? Sorry, go on.
We don't care. Whatever.
Did you see that earlier this week, Prince William was voted sexiest bald man in the world?
Mm-hmm.
Which is relevant news
to this podcast. It is an affront. There are at least 3 bald men in this movie
who are sexier than Prince William.
At least
Prince William, I was not gonna sexy, say two. Even
Roman
with hair. I don't think
you got to forget Roman. Roman is also Statham, extremely
Statham. The Rock.
Diesel, the Rock.
We not counting the Rock.
There's
Rock was already voted sexiest man alive, People Magazine. And
yeah, but they didn't do subcategory bald.
Oh, do you think there's a caveat?
He won between baldness and he won over all the non-balds too.
No, but you had to. I mean, yes, he would win amongst the balds too.
hairy people. You beat the hairy people as well.
The fat plus the more fat hair. What? What is it? No fat.
Full fat head.
Full fat head. Full fat head. That's the end of the episode.
Is Vin Diesel a sexy man?
No,
he's not.
He is a beef boy, but he has. Weird face. He's a weird face.
Did he used to be?
Yes, he was pretty.
I don't
he
know.
Was pretty.
Me, yeah, when he's young, I think so.
At the end of the movie,
and got kind of puffy.
If you go watch at the end of this movie when they do the little retrospective that they do with Brian, if you look at Vin Diesel, you're like, oh, he's he changed a lot
in the first one. Yeah, but by the time he came back in the fourth one, it was already kind of diminished.
He had a few rough years.
Was it artificial enhancement of some sort?
Like what?
I don't know, like Botox, like steroid, like whatever. I don't know, some surgery on his face.
Steroids, it doesn't look lots of them.
It could be steroids. He was a chunker. It looks
natural to me. I think he's just like in the first movie, he's like 35 already. So by the time they get the fourth one, he's like 43.
Just still sagging a bit.
So it's, you know, it's eight. Yeah, he's aging.
He's a classic
normally.
dad rod.
Yeah, he is, isn't he?
Yeah. And he is also like in the first one, he's at his trimmest. He's kind of trim.
Right.
Like, he's in really good shape.
Yeah.
And as the movies go on, he lets it. He's in the grill man too much.
He's the grill man.
He's been to see the grill man way too much, doesn't he?
If you go in your backyard and you just
he's having the Corona cup.
I mean, you have a good time with the grill man, but
he's not drinking the Corona Light, that's for sure.
No, he's drinking full fat Corona.
But yeah, while he is not sexy per se, I think I still like him. Like, I like his dad bod.
I like
his weird looking face.
Yeah.
He's charming.
I'd put him above Prince William. Let's put it that way.
I would too.
I mean, I think everybody would, which is why everyone's like, why Prince William?
It's just ridiculous.
Would Prince William be sexier if he just did the full shaved head?
Yes.
He still has
just
like...
stop trying. Yeah.
Yeah. He still has like the sides going on.
Like, he's doing like a Captain Picard series one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's hanging on a bit too much.
There's another sexy bald man.
Oh, yeah. He should be above. I mean, come on.
He's up there.
Stanley Tucci, he should be above him. I mean, there's any number, right?
Someone said Ed O'Neill. I'm like, yeah, Ed O'Neill.
Sure.
Not Ed O'Neill.
Mid-90s.
Bruce Ed Screen?
No, Ed, what's his face from The Rock?
Ed Harris.
Oh, Ed Rock? Harris. Ed Harris. The Rock.
Not Ed O'Neill.
No.
He's not,
no, sir. That does he's not in this conversation.
It's like in a dad kind of way, I guess.
Yeah.
No.
He would be the dad rod.
Can we talk about this movie?
Not yet.
Okay.
We're still talking about sexy bald guys.
We established what it was called.
Am I the closest to being bald among all you? Like, look at this. I'm starting to lose my hair.
Oh, no. I've got some... You can't see it on here, but it's thinning right here.
You can't see on the podcast.
I'm
for
starting
sure.
to thin. Yeah. And I've been finding my bald idols where I was like, okay, maybe in like 5 to 10 years, I just go full Picard or Statham. And I like,
yeah,
maybe like...
Yeah, what is the, is there a line, literally a line drawn in your head? Is there a line on your extra fat head? What's it called again?
Not full extra fat, full head. Fat
full
head.
Fat. On your full fat head, is there a place where you're like, at this point, it all
goes. It's like, once it gets to here, it's just coming all off.
Right now, I have like the Hugh Laurie, like I have here.
Not a great
here.
Thing to reference for hair.
No.
I got the Hugh Laurie.
And that's not what I want. So I don't know. I told, you know, Jess is going to let me know when it's time, I think.
Is it when it's all right? Is it when
that's
it
love right there.
Is it when it's fine, disconnects completely?
Murren,
like
I love you.
Isthmus, if it
we're shaving your head.
Yeah.
We're shaving your head tonight. I love you.
You're coming
far.
Over.
We're shaving it.
She just holds you to her chest and just like, shh.
Here it goes.
She just starts
here
shaving.
Here it goes.
And you're like, but I don't, okay.
Let it happen
in the arms of an angel.
But yeah, I've been thinking like, oh, how do I like, who do I, who, what bald man do I want to like go, like who do I want to apply, you know, who do I want to be like,
well, this Stan, you know, saying Stanley Tucci earlier,
he's
a kind
great
of a,
example.
Yeah,
have you seen that ad, it was like going around the internet a couple years ago, like that Levi's jeans ad that Stanley Tucci was in the 80s? He looks so freaking hot. It's incredible.
Does he have like full head of hair?
No, he's still bald.
Then?
And he was probably like...
Stanley
like,
Tucci was born bald.
His hair, honestly, like his hair is not on point yet at this point, but the bod is incredible. He's jacked
when
he's younger.
Wow.
Anyway, I was like, yeah, I got to go for like, I got to get like the Statham body and then just shave it all.
Well,
like
the thing about the Statham, right? The thing about the Statham and the thing about Stanley Tucci as well, right? They embrace the facial hair, right? And
that's true.
Fine.
That's
right?
Very true.
Go embrace the baldness, but also.
Oh, yeah, Murren, would you grow a beard if you shaved your head?
That's a good question. I'd have to try it out. I can't grow a great beard. I usually can't grow great hair either.
So.
I'm just very hair challenged. I have very little body hair. I don't have a lot of chest hair or back hair or anything.
Yeah. What else?
Or show us. Sorry, viewers at home, you can't.
Is that why we never see Vin Diesel? I've never seen Vin Diesel with facial hair. Do you have the same problem? Do you think?
Last Witch Hunter, maybe.
Yeah, is that real? I want to see real.
That was like a fake beard.
He's always immaculately clean shaven as well. Not even like a couple of days.
He's like a seal. Know. Yeah.
He has alopecia.
I wonder if he's done it and been like, nope. And just knows like, his beard's like all this patchy and crazy.
I want to see him with like a
really cool with the beard.
I want to see him with like a goatee, like a real sculpted goatee.
Oh, so he looks like that could be cool. So he looks like a DS9.
He looks like an old timey strongman kind
like
of
Hawk like Hawk from like a circus, Spencer for like, Hire.
He's like the
definition of an awesome bald dude is like Spencer for Hire, James Avery,
the person who makes, I think they make fine jewelry. Avery Brooks.
Avery Brooks. I knew Avery was in there
another Starfleet captain. Yeah,
there we go. Remember the first season, he had an afro and no goatee, mm-hmm. and everybody was like, show's okay. Yeah. Comes it back was, second season, bald with a goatee. You're like, hell yeah. Okay.
It was the equivalent of Riker's beard.
Yeah. For DS9. Oh, God. Beardless Riker is an abomination. Weird. It is an just abomination. Weird.
It was. That's how you can tell when it's good.
Exactly.
So maybe we're waiting on the. Okay, now can we talk about the movie?
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, I've been waiting.
I didn't come on here to talk about the goddamn movie. I didn't invite myself on this show product. To talk about this film.
I mean, the people. Go ahead,
Jonathan.
No, okay. Wait,
talk about the movie.
All right, for just a second.
Just a second. Right. Then we'll get back off topic again.
Yeah, it's fine. Last chunk, we saw what we saw. They have met Mr. Nobody. Mr. Nobody's taken him to his secret lair. They've done the beer thing. Now he's
in El Segundo, California. I had to notice this time.
They are now.
Super
can secret. Can I ask a question about this place?
Oh my
right?
God, we haven't even moved even 1 inch.
At least
into
it's
this.
About the
well,
movie.
Well, you said a second. It is about the movie, right? Yeah. This place they're at, right? It's called a covert operations base.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, not on a sign. It doesn't say this.
It says it on the screen. It's telling us what it is, right? Is it the base for the team that's called, the team is called Covert Operations and it's their base? Or is it an operations base that's supposed to be covert in itself?
It's a blanket term. It just means like, no one knows about this.
This is nothing. Sorry,
but because I tell you, because the base itself is far from covert, right?
Oh yeah, there's trucks everywhere.
It's out in the middle of nowhere.
Can helicopters? Too. You name it, right?
Yeah, so, it's totally
it's nothing covert.
Yeah. I think they're saying it's a covert base, kind of like a fire station is not where there's fire, but where they work on doing things about fire. So
it's the covert operations, covert. And it's where they're based.
This is where we do all our covert from here.
Right, it's the base for all of the covert operations that we're doing.
Yeah, they make.
But the base itself doesn't have to be covert, just the operations.
Correct.
Okay, I got it. Thanks. Right.
It'd be cool if it was like inside a mountain or it had a cloaking device.
Well, like Cheyenne been a lot Mountain, cooler. Like Stargate. Yeah. It's in the Cheyenne Mountain complex.
To go through a Stargate to get to it.
I think this show is one of the ones where they're like, I don't know. This kind of movie is like, I don't care about the cloak and dagger. Like the cloak and dagger stuff in this movie is just secondary.
It's just a setup to get them to jump out of planes.
It's just no pun intended, a vehicle to give them access to a bunch of cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It it's like we literally need, since Hobbs is sick. Mm. He's sick. He got sick. Jason Statham made him sick by throwing him out a window. Since The Rock is sick.
They weren't social distancing.
Right. They weren't. Since they were, he wasn't masked up. They need someone with unlimited funds to give them whatever ridiculousness that Roman can come up with.
Basically. And here's a line from Mr. Nobody, right? Mr. Nobody gives Dom this presentation, right? It's lovely presentation. You've got lovely visuals, right?
So who's at home? Yeah,
he's had the grad on the team do these beautiful visuals on the screen, and he says, for some very nauseating political reasons.
Oh yes.
Using any US government forces or entity has been strictly ruled out. It's like, I'm
this
sorry,
is my first
nauseating
note.
Po- political.
Well, I mean, it is in Azerbaijan where they're going. It's not exactly like the U.S. just waltzes in there and does their thing and waltzes back out.
That's a good point, George. Yeah.
A covert operations team.
Well, they could just say that. Nausea, it's just it's the laziest writing I've ever seen.
Because he even says, basically, he's like, I can't, as a covert, I am Mr. Nobody, and my team can't even go in. But one further away is I literally hire street racers.
Right. Yeah. That's going to work.
You know, they're so far from street racers at this point. They've already saved the world.
They kind of go back to their roots in this chunk, which I really appreciate.
They go back. There's a grappling gun. There's an actual harpoon gun.
Like these. Oh, yeah. These are things we've seen them do in the first movie.
I wish one of them had a VHS DVD combo in their car.
When they get into the big bus, like Paul Walker starts looking through their equipment to see what we can take here. What can we jack here? We're saving the hacker.
One of my favorite parts about this chunk is the precision driving we get, because we don't get that in any other movie. Because even the last movie in 6, they're just like, whatever, 5, when they're doing the whole heist, it is just like,
it's a real sloppy situation.
Driving. Yeah. Whereas this is like lining up, like streamlining each other, you know, slingshot engage. They're like actually using the cars to do stuff with each other. And it's really, really fun.
It's like formation driving.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. We don't get that since like the first movie.
Well, let's jump to Sky Mission. Basically,
they get the team together.
Learn about God's Eye. We got to talk about God's Eye.
Yeah, we do. We do have
it's
to talk
the
about
MacGuffin. It's the MacGuffin. It's the
MacGuffin of the can find anything software hacking tool. Which, if this actually could be done, they've probably already done it. So just get over it, people.
Okay.
So
George, social commentary.
George is on the soapbox now, isn't he?
It's true, man. If like this is capable. I mean, we've already seen it, in Batman, when he accessed all the cell phones and, like, you know, that sort of thing.
Are you accusing this of lazy writing, George?
I'm just telling you that this is a very interesting choice of, plot points for them to revolve this movie around.
Well, it's weird because it's like, well, we want a cool CIA covert ops agent, but we have no real reason to do it. What if we had him steal something that he needs, but that thing could also be used to get the bad guy? Okay.
That was another thing about that is that he's saying, like, you can with this you can find Shaw wherever he's hiding. Shaw's not trying to hide at all.
I'm just kind of waiting for you to do some shit
said with this, our writers don't have to explain how we're going to find the bad guy in a difficult way. It's just you're going to plug it in.
Because they were all sitting around a table in a dark room, bunch of writers. I don't know who they are, a bunch of bros, I assume. And they go, well, how are we going to do this? They're basically just a bunch of street racers. They don't have any, like, how are they going to find an international covert guy? And they're like, wait, what if we create our own covert team?
You got to know your people. So if this were going to be a Bourne movie, then they would have a lot of intricate, like subterfuge and like searching and like a whole like
scene. You'd see it in the room, right? You would see it in
information
the...
and putting pieces together. This are like... Yeah. Oh, we got him on our laptop.
Yeah.
There he is.
Maybe that's the right way to do it, isn't it? Because you don't want to get bogged down in that control room, 15 minutes of control room, right?
Yeah, that's fine. But this is not that kind of movie.
Do you think, it's a real shame we haven't got anyone on here that knows anything about the Mission Impossible movies. But you know what? I was reading about those movies, the recent ones, the Chris McQuarrie ones, and they...
Hey, you want to be on the show? You bring a guest.
Hey, wait,
it's all set up.
Sure, why not?
All right,
you know what? They write those, the recent ones, Chris McQuarrie ones, they write those by starting out thinking about locations, right? This is a really weird way to do it, but this is what I understand from listening to Empire podcast with Chris McQuarrie, which is about 6 hours long. It's really good. I'm just giving you some tips, Jonathan, about maybe some research you might want to do. But anyway, they start out just by saying,
just in
right,
case you
what
want to do your show again, her Neil's gotcha.
They start by saying, right, let's do like, I don't know, like Paris, let's do Kashmir, let's do blah, blah, blah. These are the 5 locations that we think are great looking cinematically things. And then it's like, right, let's write a plot that kind of fits in with these locations.
And Neil, you're describing Mad Libs.
Well, the plot, because the plot doesn't really matter. And he says this. To the guy on the podcast, he said the plot actually doesn't really matter. People don't come for the plot And it's the same with these movies, right? People don't come for intricate plots for these movies.
Fast and the Furious for like, you know, like stunning dialogue and like closed room scenes with smoky windows and stuff. They're like, they're in it because like, no, stop talking and drive cars.
So I wonder if that's how they do it, but maybe it's not the locations. Maybe it's the set pieces. Like, all right, like let's think of like four cool set pieces, stunts that we can do. And then like, how do we fit it in? No, but it's not how you start. It's not normally how you start. Like the inception is not normally right. We want to do cars flying.
Well, you're also not usually in a behemoth of a franchise like this.
Yeah, it's just like right in the middle of like one of the biggest movie franchises ever.
Yeah. No, I was just wondering if that's kind of...
Unfortunately, I think so.
I think they probably think of some set pieces. It's like this guy, Chris Morgan. He's like the main, like sort of the main guy behind coming up with the ideas. And they probably come up with like some ideas for set pieces, probably ideas for character moments, but that you can kind of work in however you want. And then they probably sort of, based on the set pieces, figure out where they need to be to do them. Mm. Like here, we're going to the mountains. Which is
probably like Northern California. This is like up in the California.
It's actually
hills.
Pike's Peak in Colorado.
I was saying, this is, oh, really?
Yeah, it's in your awesome. Neck like, of the
mountains.
This is
definitely not, they probably didn't go to Azerbaijan to shoot this.
No. Yeah, it's in Colorado. So
nice.
Yeah, and apparently I was watching this, I watched the behind the scenes on the special features on my physical media.
Is this your segment, physical media?
This is my physical media. Yeah, whenever I bring it up. Ding, there it is.
Is this the wheel, the box set?
I have the wheel. Yeah, it's on a spindle. Yeah.
I've listened to the last episode. Don't worry.
Let's get physical.
Okay, everyone knows
media.
For those of you who didn't listen to the last episode, I like physical media, and I have the thing in the wheel. Okay,
and I cannot lie.
He likes to put his finger.
He likes to touch things.
He likes to rub them up on his face.
Very sensory. They went up, Pike's Peak is like 14,000 feet or whatever. And they went up pretty
14ers here.
Yeah, sure. So they went up pretty high and they kept getting snowed out. So they had to like go to lower elevation And there's some cool behind the scenes footage of them like sledding down hills together. And
so this ridiculous road is in the middle of Pike's Peak. There is that serpentine road that goes.
Oh yeah, you get like switchbacks like that all the time.
How long does it take to drive up in the real Pike's Peak? Like hours?
No. Depending on like if you're going to like there's like a base. I mean,
it's a covert.
Covert operations.
Yeah, it's a covert base. See, actually, let me see how far Pike's Peak is from me right now.
I don't want you going tomorrow, George. I want footage.
Please put it in meters for our European guests. We don't use. We're not going to use
foot and inches.
He doesn't know what that means. He's just like, if you tell him 400 feet, he's like, I don't know what that is.
Pike's Peak Park is an hour and 45 minutes from here.
Get yourself up there.
That would
George,
include
nice.
Like driving up into the hills and like doing the switchbacks.
Yeah,
and everything.
It's like it's once you go down south past Castle Rock, and then it's right. It's actually Pike's Peak is adjacent to Colorado Springs. It's like right in that tiny area. So it's like you think like, oh, it's this great wilderness area. It's like, no, it's right next to a city.
Mm-hmm. So you take a right at Castle Rock and then a left at Amblin. Mm-hmm. And then when you see Hollywood Pictures, you got to make sure you make a hard left.
Yeah. If you see TriStar, you've gone too far.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
If you see the
TriStar,
Sphinx, TriStar,
you've
stinks.
Gone too far.
Mm-hmm. Orion. That's all I got.
I was going to go to Orion too. Which all is right. defunct, right? Orion's not around anymore.
Oh, I miss Orion.
They are defunct.
Yeah, me too.
Orion great did movies. All
one
the
those
movies
ones
for
when
our
you see
kids.
It, it's like, oh, I remember seeing on these on like VHS.
That or a TriStar.
Yeah.
TriStar is the other one, I guess. Yeah.
So we get our first the groups back together. He got Letty too.
Letty comes, and then this is when I realized, oh yeah, Letty thought Dom died in that explosion, and they have not. He did not call her to tell her he was still alive.
They have a weird relationship.
So. That explosion happened. She heard about it. Dom flew to Tokyo, talked to Scuzz, flew all the way back, chased. But so was Letty not at? Now I'm trying to remember. Was Letty not at Han's funeral then? Because that was.
Well, obviously she didn't get told about it.
Yeah, this is
thanks
really
for telling
this
me,
is really
guys.
Weird now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah,
she must not have it.
Because this is the first time they make a point of her seeing the cross.
Yeah. She has a little bit of both. Yeah. No, but that's the whole thing of like both seeing it and it started to trigger her memory flashbacks, like her memories start to reawaken.
She's like, "Where'd you find that?" He's like, "Oh, it was wrapped around one of Han's fingers. We found it in the mess.
One of his severed fingers. It was just a finger was all we found, and the cross was just there.
All we found was this cross and a Han print.
So the explosion,
and a bag of chips,
the explosion that takes out Dom's house.
Yeah.
That is, at the same time as the explosion in Tokyo that kills Han?
Basically.
Because he gets the phone call,
yeah,
right?
It's like one right after the other.
Oh. Because I thought the words that you get in that end of credit scene in the last one where the Staith calls Dom.
I call him Ham.
And then he gets the same words, like, yeah, you don't know me, but you're about to, or something like that.
Hey, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good.
The same phone call,
Neil. Please give us Sir Jathan Statham impersonation.
Yeah, give us a Statham.
You don't know me, but you're about to.
All right, that's bad.
Good, yeah.
All right,
at least you don't have to fake the accent. At least
you have way too much hair for this. But like, you got the stubble. I believe it.
This isn't the last chunk, but it just occurred to me, like, what if FedEx or whatever had not delivered that package on time?
Like,
and he calls, and it's like, you see that package on your
I don't
front
think
porch.
It's
and
timed.
Like, no,
maybe he's got the tracking. He knows.
FedEx guy has a
code. Oh, yeah. You can track
the tracking. It always says, like, it's out for delivery by 9. You know, that's a very large window.
Yeah. Here in Chicago, they'll be like, delivered, and then 10 minutes later, it's delivered. That poor guy would have been blown up.
Yeah,
that happens all the time. Like, delivered.
So do you think he was following the tracking and then, FedEx like, okay, on. He delivered. Okay, now I can
now
kill Han.
Yeah.
I mean, if you got a bomb, he probably has, like, a little.
Okay, Neil, you've done that voice.
Yeah.
Neil, you've done that voice. I want to now hear you talking to as the Staith. I want you to talk to customer service for FedEx because your package has not arrived yet.
I really need to know when my package is here, and that's your motivation. And go.
What's going on with that package?
Hello, this is Judy. Hello.
All right, Judy. Yeah, I want a delivery.
Oh, hello. Are you from London?
You're supposed to deliver this package. It's a bit heavy.
Yeah.
Don't smell it or anything.
Okay.
It's
that's weird.
To be
sure.
Bang on 9 o'clock, and now it's 9:10. Where
here, let me check.
Hold on.
Please hold. I'm checking our records. Hold on.
Typing.
1 o'clock here, Judy. Can you hurry up?
Is there a way you can make sure the driver does not shake the package?
Don't touch. You don't smell it, please.
Oh, sir, I'm sorry to say this package has been rerouted to our Pasadena facility.
Oh, fuck.
It looks like Dom elected to pick up the package at the local pickup location.
He just got the slip through the door, and then he's gone to the...
He's at a UPS store right now.
I gotta go to the depot to pick up a package.
But you're doing both voices?
Good Dom.
Is this both voices that we're getting?
That's
the
Dom,
one of the better ones we've gotten.
I think it's because we don't really know what accent Vin Diesel does. So.
And he doesn't have an accent. He just is...
Does he have a nationality even in this?
It's unclear.
we kind of put Italian and Mexican together into
I opened the door to look outside and there was a slip from UPS. Now I gotta go pay.
When I was a kid, my family made both ragu and tamales, so it is what it is. You decide. You the viewer can decide what I am. I don't define myself.
Doesn't drink Peroni though.
No, God,
no.
I'm a Moretti man.
Then we get the team together at the super secret covert operations base in El Segundo, California.
We have not talked about 10 minutes of this fucking podcast.
Okay, can I just
say, God's eye.
Do any of you guys
God's eye,
fist your bottles in that
way?
We
got the setup and the pitch.
Oh, we cannot talk about the bottle fist. That is going to get us into
so
a whole other
obvious.
Area.
Neil, come on!
It's the whole goddamn talk. Oh God!
But he's not drinking now. Now they're deciding, and we got our fun Roman.
Yeah, okay, I'm going back.
Up,
sorry,
Roman coming up with the idea.
Roman is doing his the classic Joseph refusing of the call. Joseph Campbell refusing the call.
Yeah,
he's doing that for the whole team, basically. It's like
Roman. Roman drives me nuts in this scene.
This scene is too much.
It Roman. Really is just like, okay, we got the team back together. Now Roman's going to give us a high-pitched recap of the last four movies. And for some reason, this plan he cannot do. Everything else was fine, but for some reason, he's drawing the line unless he starts to make some decisions.
But not now.
He decides he needs to be in charge.
And then he backasses into a decision that everyone actually kind of agrees on.
Yeah, he says, like, we're just going to do that. And he just, like, he basically, like, points his finger at part of the map without even knowing what he's doing. And then basically the military guy who he's like, kind
that's
of...
That's a terrible idea.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, you can't do that. And then Ludacris is like, well, actually, that's actually a pretty good idea. Paul Walker's like, yeah, let's do it. And then they, like, just...
That's why Mr. Nobody is a great leader, because he just looks at everybody. He's like, this is a terrible idea. I love it. Let's do
it. Mr. Nobody's like, that's totally wrong thinking. And that's why it'll work.
But it's a bit lazy writing, right? Because it's the trope, isn't it? It's like, it's the craziest thing. They'll never expect it. Let's do that.
Well, Neil, it's only the craziest thing because no one would expect it. So there you go.
Can I get a job on the writing team? Because it's just walking the path.
No, we don't want it better.
I want a writing team.
The next thing you know, it's a fucking Merchant Ivory production of them staring out a fucking window in South India talking about the rain.
What are you talking about?
I'm telling you, like, if Neil gets in charge of writing, that's what Fast and the Furious will become.
It'll become Apocalypse Now?
Merchant Ivory.
So this is where we get
I'd like to talk about that nickname first of all.
What does it mean?
Knees. Because she's been down on her knees so much.
That means she's all knees. That's all knees to knees.
They've worn out. They've worn out. She's been on her knees so much.
Worn out
because they've been on her knees so much. I guess I'll buy that.
Okay.
Bad knees, Denise. She has bad knees or something.
It's not quite as bad as Mama wouldn't open her legs or
it's not as horrifying as that.
It's not as bad as that.
And it goes by pretty quick. But yeah, I just wanted to I wasn't quite sure we were going there. And I was like, yeah, that's what
I know. In the realm of booty, in the realm of booty shot movies, this series is not great for a woman's voice so far in the movies. Okay. But is this the worst movie for all of this? With all the stuff we're going to get with Ramsey and all the dibs.
Oh, God.
The most cringe-worthy?
Which makes me sad because I do love this movie, and I've said it's like my favorite, but like that, yeah, it might be the worst
problematic
in that way.
And it's not like Letty comes to the rescue either.
They do say that, but then like people are constantly calling them out on it.
But Letty's not saying don't say that. She's like, is that really what you're saying?
She doesn't speak up. Dom doesn't speak up. Dom silently tolerates it.
Either. It's Dom going, what are we doing? Like Dom being like, shut up. Dom walks away.
Yeah, he silently puts up with it. I don't know why.
To call them out on it, but only doing so within the auspices of this movie franchise.
Yeah, they're calling them out and also showing a really lingering shot of Ramsey.
Yeah, the camera says it all, I think. Yeah, there's a lot of booty in this movie. Like, there's maybe even the most of any of these movies. Like,
even more than Monica?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe in the first one, yeah. But
there was a lot of it in the first one. I feel like if anything, the first one maybe the worst.
Yeah,
this is probably number two though.
Been a while since we've done the first one. They may be forgetting some things.
Isn't there a lot in the Tokyo Drift as well? Because there's a lot in Tokyo Drift.
Yeah, whenever there's street racing, you're gonna have. But yeah, this one, with the dib stuff and Ramsey, it's a little much.
Then they all get dressed up into hot outfits, and then they go to a party where everyone's hot. And then there's a fight. There's a lot of hot fighting, whereas normally it's a bunch of beef fighting. It's mostly just Vin Diesel and wrenches and stuff like that. So this is definitely this escalates all of the fighting. We're not at fighting yet.
We don't get to it. We get a little bit of fighting. They jump. Mostly it's just driving and shooting.
Yeah, they jump. What the stupid plan is that Roman decides where they're going to go, and Tej is like, we can do this, and basically we're going to jump out of a plane.
With cars.
We're going to roll our cars out backwards.
This is the sky mission. Yep.
They roll out backwards, but thank God they're weighted in such a way where their fronts go forward. You could easily just have been falling backwards.
Why didn't they just drive forwards out the back of the plane then?
The engines are in the front. They're going to be more heavily weighted for the front.
No,
why did they back it out though?
Look at what Dom's got on his truck. His truck's covered in shit on the back.
He's got two tires on top of a Hemi. It's going to be front weighted.
Okay, why has he got two tires on the back? I've got that as a question. What's that all about?
Because it is a love child. between one car that had
a demon child. Demon.
Those tires need like, all our testicles.
Does he think he's gonna stop and change a tire during this?
Well, you know what? Like, Neil, better to have it and not need it.
Oh, here's my one piece of.
I think in Spy Racers they have automatic refilling tires, don't they?
Uh huh.
Is that something they had in Spy Racers?
Pops up,
And probably. This is our.
They have it in Speed Racer. I know that.
This is our gearhead section. I'm in the gearhead section right now.
Okay.
Two things that Dom does said right before they jump off the plane. They need cars that have long travel suspension. I looked that up. That's for dune buggies and Baja racers. That makes total sense. It's a dampening off road driving.
He's going off road. Yeah.
He said limited slip differential.
And the limited slip differential I had to go look up. And it also is where you have your wheels. Have the ability to have torque on every wheel and it won't literally slip when you're turning.
Yeah.
Whereas if you, you know this.
Is that an independent thing?
You worked at this place for a week.
I'm more of a gearhead, Jonathan, on my worst day than you have been after 2 years of doing this podcast.
I don't believe you. I have bought 3 compression tees. I drink Corona religiously.
You fight with a wrench.
I fight with wrenches. I have no knees anymore.
Goodness me.
So both those things make sense, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah. Why don't they just drive out the back? Why are they going backwards out the back of the
plane? Great question. Why?
George, why?
I think it's more fun that way. Like sometimes you go down like a cool. Sometimes when you go down the water slide front ways. You know, you do it 3 times that way, boring. And you're like, oh, it's kind of boring now. You want to go down backwards.
Yeah. So it's basically, if they go out this way, their car will flip as it orients to go forward. Whereas if they go out front, it just goes, it's boring.
It's going to go over.
It'll be like a backflip.
Backflip. And then eventually, what you're saying, George, I think is eventually it doesn't matter. You're just going to point down.
Oh, yeah. No, they could have gone out either way.
Doesn't, this is ridiculous. Sideways. This is flipping, just rotating, cool. Whatever.
Well, that's the thing when they because when they pull the chutes, they are also pointed the direction except for Roman, the way they're supposed to be. They are pointing forward. I'm like, they could easily just be spinning. We've all seen the picture of that poor woman in the helicopter thing, that the cage that's spinning 1,000. Yes. That's what happens when you have a dangling parachute holding you up and you're a giant truck. You would start even the slightest.
This is another question. How do they control where they land? Because they
Well, they said there was something based on GPS. There was something. Well, that was
just can they steer while they're floating with the parachute?
Well, like air brakes.
Steer the parachute.
Hit the brakes and they stop moving forward. Yeah.
Okay.
They also have to adjust the tilt of the car because they are pointing really far, like forward.
Yeah.
Right. With the and then of course they've got to level out when they.
It's got like four wires that sort of like make it level out. So they're like above the ground versus pointing down at the ground.
So they had to come up with that gadgetry, right? Like,
but that's what, Tej does.
Fair enough.
Tej is a wizard. He's a wizard in the garage.
And they hit the ground and that song starts up again. And then she's like, we're on the ground. And you're like, hell yeah.
Yeah, and Roman doesn't go in the right place. He goes up off in the trees.
He's just spinning. He's doing what everyone else should have been doing. He's spinning aimlessly.
Roman's falling, so Roman has this big scaredy cat moment where Tej is teasing you about like adult diapers. It's pretty dumb, but he's scared to do it, which is like, I feel like that's relatable though.
He's the last one, right? Left in
of course. He's like, I like that they have Roman to be like the everyman kind of thing, where it's like, yeah, of course I'd be scared in that situation.
He's our everyman, and he's always the lantern. He's always the one you hang the lantern on. He's the one that, like, when they got to the covert Herringer, he's like, what the hell is this?
I need to take us for a second to address the fact that every vehicle in this ensemble cast of cars, like the Jeep and the Charger, and like just everything's just like totally badass and awesome. Why is Brian driving a goddamn Subaru?
Exactly. He always has the dinkiest, tiniest cars.
It is
for every
little nice.
I get it.
Family
it's
run
all rhymes. Wheel drive vehicle. Would you want that in the mountains? You probably got that thing in Colorado because they're everywhere here. But they're great for the snow. I would not.
Yeah,
that's
the sort of car you drive to go skiing. You go on a ski trip.
Yeah,
like, it looks
you
like he's just going on vacation.
A Subaru Impreza hatchback out of the back of a plane.
Someone from Mr. Nobody's team had to actually make that thing bulletproof. Because it basically is. Because it gets shot up.
You want me to do what to a Subaru?
Wait, why? Why not just use one of our metal cars?
My sister has a Subaru.
Let's see. Yeah, Dom wanted like the tank car. Tej has like the big Jeep, and Letty has like kind of another tank car. And so, Paul, Brian, what do you want? I just want Subaru. Don't even modify it.
It's not even like a WRX. It's got like some actual meat to it. It's just like a freaking hatchback.
The sound as well. You know, when you hear Dom's car first, goes, and then you hear Brian's is like, it's hilarious.
He always has the worst cars.
That's what I like about him, though. George. Brian's easily my favorite character in this movie franchise. Really? And that's why he's a real, yeah, he is. And it's not least because of Paul Walker. I think Paul Walker is really great in this franchise. Mm-hmm. And I actually love the fact that he's a bit more down to, we mentioned a moment earlier when, you know, no knees, Denise, right? Mm-hmm. And I love the little look that that he gives Tej, and they just laugh to each other, and he gives a little V. I don't know what it means, but he just gives a little V with his fingers.
Like victory?
Yeah, well, I don't know what it means, but I love it.
This way it means something else.
Mm-hmm. And it looks to me like a little improv-y moment. It might not be, but I like that. And I like that about Paul Walker.
Is it that he's just... he's cool, but also a little bit lame all the
time.
He's
a dad.
Yeah. That makes him likable.
Yeah.
He's a dad.
He's trying to be cool, but he's just like, he's not going to change his ways. He's not going to get the nice big car.
He's not going to change his shoes.
He loves Japanese imports, and he's always going to have a Japanese import.
He jumps on what I'm now going to refer to as the murder bus. He jumps on the murder bus in a pair of Chuck Taylors.
It's Vans. He always wears Vans sneakers and jeans and a plain gray t-shirt.
He's such a buster.
But he just goes, right, get me in it. And I'm just there might be like five special forces guys in there, Brian. They might be armed.
I'm good. I'm an ex-FBI cop. Yep. Whatever.
just get me in there.
I'll fight Tony Jaa. It's going to be fine.
It's like, you know when you're in the park, right, and you see a really little scrappy dog, and it goes up to this really big dog, and it just goes like, come on then, I love it, come on. And that's Paul Walker. Paul Walker is a little scrappy dog.
He is. But he's the dog that everyone else loves. You're like, I can't fault him for it.
I was going to bring up before, I think when Roman is falling out of the plane before the parachute happens, I think there's a shot of him trying to hit the brake on his car to stop.
Mm-hmm. He does that on the plane. He does that in the air.
In the air.
I thought that was great.
It's not how brakes work.
Oh, Roman.
So we get the tactical bus or the murder bus, which I absolutely love.
How about tactical murder bus?
Tactical murder bus. I brought this up a few minutes ago. I just rewatched Speed Racer. There is also a tactical murder bus in that movie.
There is.
I've never seen it. Is it worth watching that?
I'm kind of curious as to why Mern was watching Speed Racer and not the chunk of this movie we were about to do a podcast on.
It was prep, George. It was research.
Yeah, I have to watch some other movies other than Fast and Furious sometimes.
Who are these people? And has it been explained at all in this movie up until this point?
Who these people are
and why they've got this lady?
Bad guys. They're just
halfway
generic.
Through the movie. The first time I thought it was still our government. For some reason, I was like, why are they killing the government guys? I'm like, this isn't our government. Never mind.
Mr. Nobody had during his PowerPoint presentation. I think he brought up. Mose Dikande,
Jaimon Hansu's character, who is I love the fact that he started out doing the most
seen like 12 Years a Slave and
Amistad
Amistad, that was a big thing.
Destroy your heart with sadness movies.
Amistad, Gladiator. Like,
you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna do Guardians of the Galaxy and just see where my shit goes.
I'm gonna be the second banana bad guy in every action movie now.
And he's always fucking great. I love him.
He's always great. But yeah, he's not like in this is the same year as Guardians of the Galaxy, and in both movies, he's like, no, he's not the villain. He's just kind of there. He's like a secondary villain.
Wait,
he's not that
get
really,
paid the
really
same
scary.
And actually have fun doing a movie? No, I'm in.
He's having a blast.
What was explained then by Mr. Nobody during that presentation?
Jaimon Hansu's like a warlord guy, a mercenary, and he's trying to get God's eye. And he's kidnapped this hacker, Ramsey, who knows how to use it, I think. Or she invented it. We don't know
so
what
she knows where it is.
But,
and Mr. Nobody's got the intel on
this guy. So
why they're having to drive
rescue her.
Right, got it. Yeah.
Why they're having to drive her to a secondary location to basically torture her to death? I don't know.
It's Azerbaijan, and they will shoot them out of the air if they try.
Well, why don't they just do it right now?
Like, why don't they just do it on the tactical bus? They could probably just do it on the tactical bus. They have
because the torture room has snacks.
It's not a torture room. Wait, there's a torture room in the TMB?
No, there's a torture room at the place they're going.
Okay. You got
to. So what, it's totally unexplained as to why they're transporting her from A to B. Is that right?
Yep. No reason.
Not important. Not important.
They found her at A and they're taking her to B. And it just happens to be through these mountains.
Yeah, okay.
Going from A to B via TMB.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. That's fine.
They got to mind their P's and Q's.
So this whole action sequence, this set piece is so good.
It's so good.
And I was just kind of watching it. I didn't take a lot of notes. I think Brian and Tej drive up alongside the bus and shoot like bombs onto the side of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, blow the back off.
And then Letty and Dom use their harpoons to pull the whole back of the bus.
The good old harpoon. The harpoon. They use the first harpoon.
Yeah. Nice. These are much bigger
harpoons.
But first we get that awesome
scene where, like, you know, the Range Rovers, whatever, they drop their back gates and they have like these like machine guns pointing at them.
Oh yeah,
and then Tej comes up between them and he's running. And then,
yeah, they do the formation.
Bulletproof Jeep, and then they like lock into like this perfect four line.
Is that because he's in the only bulletproof car? They have to all drop in behind.
I feel like his actually himself. Has shields, whereas everyone else is just like maybe bulletproof glass, but maybe not fully like otherwise. Like,
yeah, I guess I've seen that.
And like, not bulletproof to that caliber of a weapon.
You know what? There's no amount of bulletproofing you can do to Subaru like mini guns, that'll make it work.
These are like proper minigun, these things, aren't they? They're like they're really hardcore.
I'm glad they didn't go with the spinny Gatlin, because they went with the spinny Gatlin underneath the murder bus.
Yeah, no, they had just have the straight barrel, ones on and the then sides, the Gatlin right. guns had to, the miniguns had to come out from the side to take it up a notch.
And I love the little my tech of the app is the little joystick. Yeah. The little toggle joystick with a little dial that allows it. It's a very limited range bay of three Gatlin guns, let's be honest.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, either side, so that's fun.
What I also love about this bus is that it seems like they said, like, okay, if we hit them here, that's going to be unexpected. But it seems like all the technology they have is built just to deal with this kind of situation.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of cars trying to attack their motorcade.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter where you hit them, they're still going to get, like, you know, the full barrage.
We've got the same issue no matter where we do this on the road.
Yeah, they're still going to have to deal with the TMB.
George's favorite part is when they all human centipede lock up in the back with Tej in the front.
I'll like run train on each other.
Yep. When they elephant walk their way through to the TMB.
George, which position would you like to be, George, in that?
Oh, yeah. What is your position?
Either front or back. I don't want to be
in a car centipede.
Yeah.
a vehicular centipede.
You always want to be at the back. I feel he's got the most protection, right?
I guess.
You see what's happening.
I mean, if you're into using protection.
My God, George!
You want to be able to feel those bullets.
Yeah, I want to be able to feel everything.
You want to be up front. You want to be taking the risk.
Oh, he's on the head. He's right? definitely he on the head. On the head. So they blow the back. Back door is completely blown. It's our first. It's our first shot of our third tier antagonist in this movie.
Yeah. Like, I know Tony martial Jaa. Arts, but I don't have a name. So I will be fighting you just to make this scene harder, but I don't really have a point.
Just call me
game.
Quick Kick or whatever G.I. Joe name. I'm kidding.
I just Kickman looked at my notes, and I just remember we've skipped over the part where Dom said, "This time it ain't just about being fast." Okay. And in head, I have to say, it's also about being furious.
I wrote the exact same thing.
It's like about being just seems implied that that's the end of that sentence.
I'm glad they didn't spoon feed it, because they do enough of that in the series. Let's let it hang.
There's a lot of family dot dot dot. We got not just about being fast dot dot dot. There's a lot of that in this entire.
They're just like, you
family
listen,
in this chunk.
If you're
we
this
get
far in,
reference?
We you're in. We know. We know. We're not just. Fine.
We do get family reference in this chunk. Ramsey references them being a family because they're together because of
she trusts them because she sees that there's such a great family. Basically,
that is
there's always family. Yeah, everyone gets family all the time.
I also forgot to say what was it? I like that the jumping out of the plane is kind of like a Point Break reference. Just taking it back to Point Break.
Yes, it is. Yes,
seeing some skydiving.
And I guess Roman is Johnny Utah at the end when he's just like, oh, just, and then jumps out.
Yeah, he is. He's Utahing a little bit.
He's
yeah.
freaking out a little bit, but he just does it.
I like the point that they just straight up murdered at least 15 people with the Tej human centipede.
Oh, yeah.
But then when that one guy falls out of the back of the truck, they all swerve to get around him. Yeah. And not run over him. I'm like,
we can only kill people with car violence.
He might not be dead. Yeah. You know.
This you is not to, Texas Chainsaw any more Massacre. Casualties.
Like, I kind of wanted to thump, 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 thump.
You can do a donut and hit someone with a car.
Right.
And that might kill them, but you can't run them over. It's not.
It has to be sporting.
Yeah, it's not like that.
I got you.
Yeah. Brian also does some car surfing. Another point break.
Okay. This is the beginning of Is Brian Going to Die? This is my new segment for the rest of the movie. I talked about it last movie. I'm like, is Brian going to die in this scene? And then later in this scene, I'm like, oh my God, is he going to die?
Yeah, it's a couple times.
I mean, surely the bomb going off, I thought he was dead. Right?
This movie knowing that Paul Walker had died by the time this thing came out. And just remember watching every scene going like, is this CGI? Is he CGI? Is he CGI? This is, no, he's not. Oh, shit. Yeah, is this what happens? He's CGI after this, right? Nope. That's what the entire movie was watching, just thinking that.
Is it real Paul Walker or fake Paul Walker?
Yeah.
I've got many questions. And I've got, like, later on, we'll get to it. I'll ask that question when we get to it. But yeah.
We're like an hour into this.
No, I mean later on in this show, because we get a moment with Brian and Dom on a plane. I want to talk about that. But we've got a lot. We've still got some great stunt work to get through in this.
Yeah. Episode. Okay. So Mr. Ja is here.
Yeah. Correct?
Ong
Bak himself.
Tony Ja is here.
I love how he is such an awesome actor, but they give him no actual role.
Except no, his nothing. Lines. They're like, we cannot give him lines. He is not going to speak this language.
There's a part where, like, he's like sort of in charge. He's like the captain of the murder bus.
Yeah.
And he's like giving some orders, but I think he's just speaking his own language.
And he's saying English. It's just
really heavily accented as high.
It's just,
you're like,
it's just, like, his feet.
It's just like two words. And I think he probably says fewer than 10 words this whole movie, right?
Oh, easily. He grimaces 1,000 times, but says 5 words.
Yeah.
He
speaks with his fists and his feet.
And his knees.
Oh, he's a real good knee actor. His knees, he is no skill. Knees.
No knees, Tony Ja.
Yeah. He's all knees.
All knees Ja.
Yeah. Brian gets on the murder bus and they find out, Ramsey's a woman. Okay, great. He basically tells Ramsey, like, you have to get off this bus or you're going to die.
They don't say, you're a woman, but there's a look that Paul Walker has where it's like, that's what we're doing.
So he throws her on
to
Dom's.
You're a sexist piece of shit.
He throws her onto Dom's car right as, because we don't need the God's eye, Shaw has tracked
him. Yeah, exactly. Like, well, there he is. Yeah. Well,
my head, it was like,
well, this Shaw is embarrassing. He came all the way here to get this thing to find him, and here he is.
And Shaw has his own cool, like, off-road demon baby car. But I was just thinking, it's like Paul Walker throws Ramsey onto the car. Like, what if she just, like, broke her back and died? Like, it was like, and then he's like, oh, yeah, you're not a fast. I forgot.
Sorry.
The
fact that she survives indicates that she will become, because she already has been chosen.
It's a test. It's a
test. She's like a Pokemon. She is about to evolve.
If she died, then it just wasn't meant to be.
We're about to capture them all.
And once she evolves, she'll be able to be in a flippy wreck and come out fine just wearing a helmet.
That's how he knew. That's how he knew.
That
be I'm going to try and kill her. And if she lives, she's part of our team.
If she can take this, then she can take that.
Yeah, we get kind of our Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade cliff here along the cliffside. With Shaw chasing. These are two monsters.
Locks him in, doesn't he?
Yeah,
locks him in, Paul Walker.
Then yeah, we get this where himself. We get like they go off road because Shaw shows that they go like off the road into through the trees.
There are now two stories going on right now.
Now we've split.
Brian's basically getting his ass kicked in the murder van.
Yeah, he's still fighting Tony Ja. But yeah, is this part where they're driving through and then there's like the other cars are chasing them and that one guy gets impaled?
Yes. That guy gets impaled on a tree, a really sharp tree.
Yeah, that stunt driver is from Too Fast, Too Furious.
Oh yeah,
he's one of the muscle car guys they race in Too Fast, Too Furious. Awesome. So he gets brought back.
That looked like it would have hit.
Lord have Mercedes. He did not survive that crash.
No, they didn't. I like that there was just a Mercedes with no tricked out anything.
Yeah,
it's like,
it was just like, yeah. Oh, it's just a nice like,
he's
car.
Not going to make it.
We're going to blow up.
Just I'm like, does he have long travel suspension and limited slip differentials?
No. Did he, when he got in that car with the rest of them getting in these big trucks, did he not think, hold on a sec, guys. Why am I just getting this regular car?
You're the guy that goes into town and gets his food at the nice McDonald's. Okay.
Yeah, we can't park these big Jeeps. We can't parallel park these big Jeeps in town. So this is what you're for.
You need to go save the space.
You need to come with us.
And Michael, Mr. Jaw, all knees Jaw, he locks Brian in the truck after they're having a fight. He's
too slow.
He does say that. He does that. And then watch this little grimace. He grimaces and then runs off into the woods. I was like, where is he going? He like kind of goes, and then runs off. Just like it was a real weird little scene. And this is
you can see like what he's doing while the rest of the movie happens. He's just like sort of like setting up his little survivalist.
Yeah, foraging.
Campsite. Does he not come back?
He does.
He does. Yeah, I thought so.
But it's
yeah,
not. But you don't know what he's like. Where did he
in
go?
The meantime?
Like,
yeah.
This is the third part of the movie where I thought they were going to kill Brian. He is hanging off in the bus.
This is so. I remember
legitimately like being fucking anxious as hell during
my hand
scene
sweat
the
during the scene rewatching it. One, it's I don't like heights. I mean, and two, I'm like Brian's gonna die.
Terrifying.
This is another one where I watched in the special features. They apparently basically did this for real. Like it's a stunt double, obviously.
They digitized the face. So poor George is like, oh my God, did they
digitally
do this?
This is CGI Brian, right?
It's CGI Brian, but not for the reason you thought.
Because he's dead. It's just because it's a stunt double. But they basically there is an actual bus on the side of an actual cliff, and there's an actual guy running along it as it gets pushed off.
That's insane. Does he have obviously he has some sort of wire on him. There's no way.
Yeah, he's wired.
You couldn't have the torque to run up something going down it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they might have sort of pulled along.
No, if you got good haunches.
Let's talk about those haunches.
Have them haunches.
All
good
haunches
and sticky shoes.
Paul Walker double.
Justice for haunches.
I would just like to point out that CGI Bryant is the worst place to get some tater skins.
Yes, I've been there. It's terrible.
It's awful. Their drinks are watery. It's just terrible. Cocktails please don't be rubbish. Sponsored by CGI Bryant's.
No, they're not.
Dear terrible Roy Rogers.
No, we're Team Ruby Tuesdays all day. So, yeah.
They have a salad bar.
He jumps off this ever falling van, but the murder bus is going.
It's kind of a Uncharted 2 situation if you played that, or he climbs up around the bus and then has to run along it.
For Neil, it's like when Legolas was climbing up those falling rocks.
Yeah, you know, got to make a British reference because Neil won't get it otherwise.
Yeah, he doesn't understand if you don't bring up Lord of the Rings.
But which he read
originally in 1934 when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I've never read Lord of the Rings, but
I thought that's
you're
given
British.
To you.
I'm only just getting into big books now.
Big books,
yeah. It big is, boy, I mean, big
it's,
boys
it's
book.
Not, it's not insubstantial, but
no,
it's worth the read.
And it's hard book. Because it's if you read, especially in the original English that he wrote it in, it's like old English.
Yeah.
So it's like
read a newer translation.
I gave it a go many years ago, mm-hmm. and I couldn't get past the Ents because there's about 100 pages of Ents, and I was just like, this is too much, man. This could have been, you know what, they could have just done with a bit of Fast and Furious treatment on that book, right?
Look,
I don't
that
need
was,
100 pages of Ents.
That was just old Neil. That chase. Wasn't the Grillman. The Grillman can read it.
Grillman doesn't put up with that
shit. I feel like the Grillman would really dig the Ent stuff because he's like, this is my shit, just walking around.
He's like, I bet they all smell like mesquite. I bet they're all mesquite. Yeah.
He's like, I would cook all of
those.
Those
Ents would
make
a nice.
I would burn those Ents up.
Yeah.
Oh, you get some good smoke.
Remember that good charcoal out of those Ents.
Remember that one whole chapter where it's just about them smelling Ents as they burn to death? Such a weird chapter.
The Grillman would be
like the book.
Ooh, I could do some chorizo with this.
Yeah. All right, so Dom gets cornered by Hansu and his team of bad guys. Who Hansu has shown up. Was he here the whole time?
He was in a separate car.
They didn't show him once until just now.
He
has to have his big entrance where he steps out of the car, you see the boot, and then you see
these are more cars than the amount of cars that were around the murder van.
Yeah, there are more cars have shown up, I think.
They probably just left late from the nice McDonald's down the street.
Mm-hmm. Is this the cut? Have we done that right? We probably have, but it's so we've got Paul Walker running up this see the roof of this bus. Mm-hmm. And then and we cut to Dom getting cornered on the corner of the road.
Yeah.
Well, and then we go back to, and then we go back to Paul Walker doing
Paul Walker does his thing and Letty catches him with the butt of a car.
She does.
Yeah.
Sure.
Beautiful. There's a bit
she gets out of the car. You all right? Thank you.
Yeah, just kind of rolls on the ground.
Yes.
Now, see, that's shit in his pants.
See, I think that's what Neil's going to
die about
15
times.
These kind of interactions are what these characters, what the actors have become.
Yes.
These are not written lines. These are we good? Thank you. You know, it's just like, this is them being themselves.
And this is like the fourth thing. This is like only the third or fourth time Letty and Paul Walker have talked. Right,
in the movie,
they don't have a lot of interactions.
Remember him anymore, really? So she's like,
I absolutely love his shit eating grin as he gets in the car, dude.
It's a really good interaction. It's really good.
It's like thank you. He's like all smiles, and he gets in the car, and he's like, I'm getting in the car.
And it just gives you a feeling of like, they're family. Like
he wants a one-on-one Letty time.
They're gonna be there for each other.
Letty to hang out, you know, maybe shoot the shit.
We don't talk anymore.
They can
since
dish
that
about
first time we talked in the first movie.
Like we never talk
it's
anymore.
Been six more movies since then.
We got a dish about Dom. We got a dish and see what it's been about.
What's the hot goss, Letty?
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you put up with the smell, Letty? I mean,
the smell.
All right, those tank tops. I mean, there must be something.
There's no tank tops in this movie. Have you noticed so far? We've been all compression tees.
He must have been in a. No, really.
I haven't seen one yet.
Not a tank.
Not yet.
He's got a tank
at the end. At the end, I think he has one at the beach.
When you get to the cookout, he's got to have a tank.
Always.
We completely skipped over the scene where Dom is like swerving around on the road in the middle of all this shit, and then guns the car.
No,
to
we haven't skipped it. We
still have.
No, we're about to. It's about to happen.
No, that's like.
No, you're talking about something else.
I'm talking about where he guns the car. And like pops Ramsey up from the hood to the sunroof and pulls her.
Oh, that's a great move.
Yes,
that's good.
It is good, but it's like, how do we talk about it?
We just said it happened.
It was cool.
You skipped it. I'm saying it happened. I saw it with my eyeballs.
Dom drives the car like he's riding a horse. He rears it and he flips into the car. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I thought it was a bit different. I thought because he's got a pimped out car. You know when those cars go up and down and bounce like that?
You know
I
what?
Thought you pressed the button and it bounced.
I
don't think it was a hydraulic thing.
It's way.
I don't know. It could be.
He's not going to three. Would
that more appropriate?
If Ludacris was the one that modified the car,
he may be right.
I mean,
he has independent slip differential, and he also has
two pistons in the front. Just shoot him straight up.
Well, how did he flip her otherwise? When you gun a car, George, it doesn't lift.
So,
rear up
the way
the front.
It happened in the scene is the fact that he popped it into a higher gear and hit the gas and the brakes and it accelerated so fast that it shot her up a little bit over the edge and then he pulled her in through the sunroof.
Do you mean a lower gear?
No,
so
a higher
he dropped
gear.
The gear.
He wanted to go
and
faster.
And then gunned it.
So he went to
a
higher
gear.
Yeah,
when you accelerate, this is okay. Gearhead's talking here.
Yeah,
George and I don't understand how this works.
We got this.
You accelerate
we'll tell you how
fast
transmission
enough,
works, Neil.
The front of your car will elevate.
Yeah.
Because
but you
of inertia.
But surely you don't do that by moving from like third to fourth. Moving from third to fourth is when
this
you get on the freeway and you're like,
just Dom can do it.
Close a bit.
Yeah.
You want a bit more, you want to gun it a bit. You drop from fourth
I'm
to third
Neil.
And then
you go
higher
down.
Rails. You go,
and you get
a bit more power.
Yeah.
You rev more in lower gears from higher gears. You don't rev more. Me driving 90 miles an hour in fifth gear and then going to sixth gear just means it'll even out more, not the other way around.
That's a good point. That's a good
point.
If
I put it
maybe,
into fourth,
maybe
it would actually be
down.
Too much. It's like almost too much.
So he downshifts and then gets a bit more gun from the engine and then pops it. I don't know if the pot. I'm not sure I'd buy that. I'm not
hope
sure.
You're happy, gearheads. We did it.
That's science, baby.
That's why I'm here
science
for.
The shit out of that.
See, George, this is why I didn't want to bring this up because I knew it was going to make a huge fight. Because you know,
I'm just saying,
I don't like it when you guys
that's
fight.
That's not how transmissions work, but you guys can downshift all you want to.
like the guys. Yeah,
we also, if you talk about the part where Paul Walker jams
drives
Tony
a
God's
Subaru
head.
And a fucking vehicular.
Well, he's off the Subaru now. He's in the tactical.
What would you have? What, George? What?
Tony Jaw's head down onto the big red button, and it fires the gun.
We did not talk that about that. We skipped over lots of beats in this movie.
Yeah.
What, George? So what would you cool have parts. Him drive? What should he be in?
Oh yeah, what should he be in?
Neil, like, listen. There's the right tool for the right job, and if you're going to go on like a full on street racer thing, a Subaru, it's tricked out. It's going to be fine.
He needs a full. Fat off-road car.
He needs something with more meat to it. He is literally the weakest chain link in this chain in the entire time.
Maybe he should have borrowed the grill man's pickup.
That would have been better.
Pickup. It's like a tank, that thing.
Mm-hmm. It's got
It carries so much beef.
You can get a whole deer in the back.
Whole deer. I'm not eating deer, Neil. I the grill man needs what? To be making like sausage.
Are you making sausage venison? Venison steak, delicious.
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
It's okay.
Good. It's delicious. Good.
You just haven't had it cooked right.
What? Yeah. I have. I've had. Well, I ate it in London, so I probably didn't have it cooked right.
Okay.
It was boiled.
Yeah, it was boiled. Boiled steak. What a
boiled venison.
Boiled until it was gray, and then it was served with French fries and malt vinegar.
Actually, to be fair, the venison steak I had, one of the I had many. One of the venison steaks I had in London was the rarest thing I've ever eaten in my entire life to this day. I still remember it.
Sounds perfect.
They brought it out, and I was like, I do like it rare. And I started eating,
this
and I
might
went,
be too much.
And I was like, still? Wow, I can actually still see the veins. Like, they're still there.
This thing is angry. I can feel its vibe.
Yeah. I was, and my wife goes, are you going to be okay? I go, I guess we'll see. Because I'm a good guest. I'm a good guest of a country. I'm like, I'm just going to eat what they gave it to me. So it must be fine.
Next day, how was it?
Oh, I thought I was going to die. No, I'm fine. Oh.
See?
I ate Indian food the next day. It took care of everything.
And the day after
that's what Indian food
a
does.
Mess.
I was split it's just in twain.
Back to neutral.
Fuck your keto. That's the bro purge right there. That'll get everything out.
So enough crapping on English food. Oh, there's a little off topic. Okay. they're on
the other thing that happened, I think, is that Roman comes back.
Oh yeah, Roman shows up.
Finally,
that's right. Something. That's
and then
important.
He doesn't do anything. He's just like, I'm no. here. He's like,
he rams Shaw off the road.
He gets the music
he goes,
cue.
Yeah,
he gets the music cue. He gets the dun 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 dun. I'm here, baby.
I thought it was cool. Like it was timed perfectly. Where it's like, oh yeah, Roman was in this, and then like he comes back. I love that.
I did not miss Roman. I have to say. I don't know what he adds to this.
I'm just trying to get past the cliff. We're on the cliff.
Okay, we're on the cliff, and they all park in perfect formation. It's very impressive. Not just precision driving, but precision parking.
Precision parking, exactly.
Precision parking is half of precision driving.
You guys ever remember? I think it was an Audi commercial that came out several years ago, and it's like 20 Audis driving in one direction, or like 20 other vehicles driving in one direction, and then one Audi coming the other way. It's like a white Audi with like all these black cars, and they're just like driving towards each other. At the very last second, 20 cars split in precise timing and just shoop and make room for this Audi to blast through the pack. I love precision driving. I can tell
because you brought it up a lot.
It's so cool.
This is like the woman in the red dress in the Matrix. Going the opposite direction. It's
exactly.
Like, were you paid?
I should look that up. Saying? Maybe I'll looking find at the white it. It's a very impressive commercial.
That sounds cool. So they park. They all park. All these black cars park in perfect formation along this cliff to block Dom from getting away. And then Dom drives off the cliff.
He does.
Ramsey to put on her helmet.
Yeah,
Diamond Hatsu comes
out and like talks. Like, does a little
I don't
speech.
Need a helmet.
She looks around and there's a helmet right in front of her. I love that she was looking around for a helmet. Like, oh, it comes with helmets. Got it.
Yeah. It's in the helmet spot.
Not that I would know where a helmet would be in a car anyway. So, yeah, Dom does not wear a helmet. He does
his helmet. His
he does his little spinny move because, of course, he now knows that Shaw has a giant sniper rifle that he's been hoofing through the woods just trying to get
Dom
there to
could sense that that was happening. So he knew how to avoid it.
Because there was no reason for the dust storm. Like, that doesn't bother the Hunsu at all. That's nothing.
No.
That's just for the sniping. So yeah, he does. He spins he around.
He does like a dumb countdown too, where it's like, I'm going to count down from three and then we'll start firing. It's like, no, just start firing.
Shoot now. they go jumping off the mountain. At first I thought, oh, he has a backup parachute. Nope.
Nope. They just crash.
They just crash.
But he's, you can see the inside of his car. He's rigged it right.
Wheels to do something like, that's what I thought the wheels are going to pop off. I'd be like,
well, he's going to flip the car upside down and he's going to drive
a bouncy life raft or something, like a geo ball
life raft.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
Another Indiana Jones reference. He's going to life raft his way down.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But he's rigged it on the inside with a roll cage. Yeah, you can see. He obviously knew this was going to happen.
If your car has a roll cage, everyone knows. If your car has a roll cage, you can just drive off a cliff and you'll be fine.
In one shot, though, does it look like Vin Diesel's arm actually kind of sticks out of the car a little bit, like out of the roll cage?
No, because he sees they're pushing towards a rock, so he reaches out and pushes them away.
Okay.
Pushes off the rock?
Yeah.
Because at one point, I'm like, the whole side's gone. He could easily just, like, his arm could easily just go outside the cage, or a stick could come in the cage.
Anything, really.
Poke you in the eye. Ow, my eye.
But not a scratch. I mean, both of them his team shows very up. Nicely.
Yeah, his team shows up, and I love that his team knew where he was going to be. Oh, Dom's doing the old roll down the mountain trick. Yep. I'll just meet him at the bottom.
Knew it.
So they go down there and they get him out. He's like, he does show a little, like, he's a little.
Yeah, he shows, he's a little dazed. Ramsey's freaking out.
Yeah, and then we go to what I call Reflection Pier. We saw it when.
Well, this is the lake house from the movie.
We saw it when what's her face? Black Widow died. There's always a Reflection Pier somewhere. We have to stand at a thing of water on a pier and look out and think. And so this
side of the water has Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock writing letters to each other.
If you look really closely, you can see that bench that the Hulk threw. It actually landed here. That's where he threw it all the way from Tony Stark's house to here. She wakes up. She sees the team. The team's
she's it's announced that Hello Kitty's awake.
Yeah. What was that about? Why did they call her Hello Kitty? I was like, was there a reference?
She's cute. I guess she's just like cute and small.
She's a kitty. I don't know. I mean,
her arm is hurt and she only does this now all the time.
Yeah.
It's this weird wave.
No, that's the lucky cat. That's a totally different thing.
Different. Yeah.
Totally different thing. Come
on. Isn't there a Hello Kitty lucky cat though?
Probably.
It's probably a combination, but yeah, it's a different thing. But yeah, but Hello Kitty's awake.
She wakes up to be
Japanese, a lucky cat's Chinese.
Okay.
She wakes up to be immediately misogynized by Roman.
Absolutely.
She may even be misogynized while she's
awake. You look like a hacker.
So Dibs. Yeah, they have this whole conversation about how hacker's not supposed to look like that. Hacker's not supposed to be a hot girl.
Oh god.
And I was thinking, what if in this movie they had gone the more traditional route and just had like a schlubby guy? What if it was like Wilson? Like who would be your like who would you
like a Rick Moranis
hacker guy?
Nick Frost. I'd pick Nick Frost.
Nick Frost would be Nick Frost would actually fit in really well to Fast and Furious, I think. Yeah, I was just imagining how the movie would change if it was just like just something like a random guy.
And then the next scene, Nick Frost is coming out of the water in Abu Dhabi.
Tiny little trunks.
And they're both talking about dibs.
Who's the guy from the IT Crowd? The
Richard Iwade.
Yeah,
he's British. Neil, you should know these things.
Yeah,
people's names, George.
I can remember that name instantly. I can't remember Alanis Morissette when I have to think of it.
Or Blake Lively.
I wasn't trying to think of Blake Lively,
aka ex Mrs. Ryan Reynolds.
But you could have said, his wife, not Blake Lively.
I could have. Yeah. I kind of forgot he was with Blake Lively too.
Okay. So who is not in this movie franchise? Which actor or actress is not in this movie franchise that really should be?
You really can't
that should
go...
be. Okay, not
that
just
should
who
be.
Is
Let
it.
Me finish the question.
Oh, okay.
That should be. And the answer is not Nicolas Cage.
Danny Trejo.
Ooh.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I almost said John Cena, and he's in the next one.
Oh,
I
would love to see Danny Trejo.
He's been familied.
Oh yeah, Danny Trejo. Well, unfortunately, they would make him Letty's uncle or something.
Letty's uncle,
probably something stupid. Yeah, but he's always excellent in everything. He's funny and he's gruff and awesome. He would be so.
They haven't gone back and done like I would love like a real Latin flavored one, not Latin like Cuba. I mean like
you mean like old Latin,
like in the city, like a Latino, like a They've done all these different ones. I mean, they try. The point of these movies at the beginning was, hey, street racers are from everywhere and everybody's different. Now it's just kind of turned into we're multimillionaires and we can do whatever we want.
Yeah, it's international crime fighter.
Yeah, team, I would enjoy, I think, a
like a Mexico City gritty. Yeah.
And I mean, well, they do that in Brazil a little. I mean,
the only problem is they have like they always do the set pieces. So they already did like the really bright, colorful Cuba. I would think like San Juan would be really cool to have a scene because like downtown San Juan is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. With all, like, the brightly colored buildings and the cobblestones and stuff. But again, like they've already done like these like little one off pieces. So
what kind of split differential do you need for cobblestones though, George?
Oh, you're going to need, everyone's going to have to be on their own for sure.
What, but what other actors, do we think? Name the top four actors.
This is, you know, when you get to Hobbs and Shaw, I'll probably talk about this more, but the voice that you hear, which is never revealed who it is. I really wanted it to be Keanu Reeves. Okay. And have him be the villain who's pulling the strings behind everything.
I think that kind of gives you that tie back into
to Point Break. Yeah. Point Break.
That'd be good. That actually is not bad. He might do it. You never know.
Yeah, it still could be. It still could be revealed in later.
Well, what about Nicolas Cage? I mean, should he be in this franchise somewhere? Is that too...
As what?
You already said that wasn't an acceptable answer, Neil.
No, I know, but it really was.
You can't say not Nicolas Cage and say, okay, just kidding, Nicolas Cage.
Just kidding. Actually, yeah. That'd
be... we were talking about him earlier, guys. The Tooch. The Tooch would be great.
Tooch would be great. Good Kyle, bad guy, though.
I would like I said, like Paul Both? Bettany, but like Paul Bettany and the Tooch as like the bad guy like combo.
Bettany, nice.
Like really, Paul Bettany and
yes,
Bettany and the Tooch.
You got tall and small.
Be this weirdly effete couple of
yes, exactly.
Bad guys would be amazing. Actually, I would watch that.
They would be one of those. They would be one of those like bad guy dynamics. It's like they're having dinner and then someone offends them and they have them murdered in front of them. And they like, as I was saying, and they continue eating like something like there really is this like gory, harsh, like really like.
I was going to say, like, what if Stanley Tucci played Dom's dad? But I don't think he's old enough to.
Wait, what? Yeah.
I don't think they're that far in age.
Probably not. Age. No.
What about Michael Keaton? Maybe Michael Keaton could be Dom's dad.
Okay. Okay.
Well, we already have Kurt Russell for like that old Hollywood white guy vibe.
We do have, yeah.
And we have Clint Eastwood's son in the next movie.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
He's a thumb. That guy's nothing.
Clint Eastwood. Maybe
he's wallpaper.
Clint could come in.
No, Scott Eastwood is proof that nepotism doesn't always happen.
Yeah, and when it does, it doesn't really work.
No.
Good-looking guy, not much under the hood.
I mean, let's think what women. I mean, in the next movie, we get Dame Helen Mirren.
And yeah.
And we also get Cypher.
Yeah, we do.
Let's think what other women would be great. I mean,
Gina Torres, she would be awesome.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'd love to see her in this.
Jennifer Garner. Let's just go with all spy based.
We'll just do all the aliases. Yeah. We got Amy Acker. You know,
I watched Deadpool 2 yesterday and Domino's really good, but she's a little close to Ramsey in this one.
Big hair. Like,
it's okay. We can have two black women with large afros.
They look very similar.
They do look very similar. Well, Domino has the eye. We'll have her paint her eye before she comes on.
You know, Jonathan, she doesn't really have that eye. That's just
Then we're never going to tell the difference.
Yeah. Sorry. Never be able to tell them apart.
We're kind of at the end of our chunk here with
we've talked about the plane conversation
and
then the going to the new place.
Yeah. New place. Here we are in the new place. Cause they talk about God's eye. I gave God's eye to a friend. It's in Abu Dhabi. Cool.
So Dom and Brian on the plane. Is this real Paul Walker or fake Paul Walker?
It's hard to tell. I feel like it's a deleted scene of Paul.
I feel like Abu Dhabi, there was like some fake Paul Walker like in the pavilion.
I like that now George doesn't trust his own eyes. Like,
I don't trust myself.
Feel this is real.
CGI Brian just got me.
Anything where you see Paul Walker like pretty close and he's talking directly and it's like just him in frame, I feel like that's got to be real.
I think they can fake it
in like backgrounds and when he's in group shots, but I don't think they can fake it that
it's
well.
It's probably an outtake.
The way they light it, it feels like this is a deleted scene from something else and they're not in a plane because when they shoot to Dom is holding on to things and kind of interacting with the world that he's in, whereas Brian is just sitting there.
Yeah, they just kind of cobbled
it together. He's in like a medium shot, and I'm like, I feel like this is not from, like, he's really not in the plane. They just cropped around his body.
I think they just cut. They've taken something from a previous movie or something.
Yeah,
made the lines work and. Yeah,
because what they did was they had Brian saying stuff, really saying things. And what I feel like that Dom is saying is stuff that they needed to, he's like,
they constructed
you were, you missed the bullets. But when he goes back to Brian doesn't seem like he just heard that.
Yeah. He changes track. Yeah.
They do a lot of if it's like a laugh or a reaction, they show it because it's easy. But as soon as he speaks, it goes off screen. So like he's speaking like ADR.
Yeah, because he will say something like the word would be like, I think that, and then it'd be like,
we should go down to Abu Dhabi.
You know, it's like it's not that bad of a.
But the message that is conveyed in this conversation is quite important, isn't it? I mean, Dom's realizing that Brian's the best thing for Brian is to get out of this shit, right?
No, but like he's like, he never showed like how much he still wants to be in it, even though he knows he can't be in it anymore.
But I think this is Dom kind of, you know, giving him permission. Like
that's why I also feel like this is probably like a cobbled together scene, because this is just setting up the whole Brian isn't dead in the end. He just goes off and does his own thing. And
he's not part of the group anymore.
But they had to go back and put something in to where they could be like, we got to build up for this. So we got to go research.
Yeah. So it's not just right at the end.
But they definitely make that a theme. And it's, I think Brian, they talk about missing the bullets. And he's, I think Dom is sort of, he's telling him like, that might be a feeling you're having, but like that's.
And it's well done. It's so well done that it's made George paranoid. Like he can't.
I am. I don't trust
my focus tonight, on George. The movie anymore. He's just like, I don't know if it's real. But
you gotta imagine, just real talk for a second, how much it must suck to have been like Vin Diesel going back to have to do this reshoot.
Yeah.
Knowing that he's talking to like this person who's not there anymore.
Almost everything Jordana Brewster does in this movie is post-death.
And it's like fucking heart-wrenching. It's like, you're like lost a friend, and like here you are like having to finish this stupid movie, which you probably at this point don't give a shit about because you're grieving. And like you have to go do these pickup shots, and like you're fucking like grinding through these lines to get them done, and you just hate it. Like that's gotta suck.
It's for Paul. What would Paul have wanted?
Yeah, true.
Do we know how much he actually filmed before his death?
Most of it.
90%
of it. Easy. Yeah.
Okay.
Anything with Jordana Brewster she is not with him. Her shot, because she wasn't going to be in much of this movie.
Right.
And when this happened, they were like, we have to throw stuff, because now she's like with her family.
Yeah. It's important. She's in it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's sad. But I mean, none of us know what that feels like to have something that you have to gruelingly deal with day in, day out for years on end.
Yeah.
That never has an ending, even though sometimes you don't want to do it. None of us know what that feels like. So. Nope. All right, let's go on.
So I get to Abu Dhabi, and this desert looks crazy cartoonish to me for some reason. It always kind of strikes me. It looks like so perfectly yellow and perfectly, I don't know. I've never been there, but.
It's booty shot time.
It is booty shot time.
Thank God. We have not had booty.
We got some camel shots too. We get some camel shots.
Hey, did we get their toes?
No. This feels like, is this the only, Neil, you're a world traveler. Have you been to Abu Dhabi?
I've not.
I'm wondering if this is the only road into Abu Dhabi, because it's the same road they use in Ghost Protocol when they drive in. Is this the road? Just
like really is that Abu Dhabi Ghost Protocol?
Or is that Dubai?
It's Dubai.
Is that Dubai?
But it makes me feel like, is there just one road that goes into these towns? It's really weird.
It's easy to get them confused. They're both Middle Eastern cities with a lot of opulence.
Yes. Well, this one, though, doesn't have the same, they don't have the same buildings. Although I feel like,
but they still have really tall buildings.
Yes,
want to know, why can't these motherfuckers ever carpool?
Oh, why do they have to all drive separate cars?
Yeah,
always going to want to drive the Japanese import.
No one wants to get in the Subaru.
No one wants to get in into like the
what
tiny
does Paul pull up in? What does Paul pull up in?
You know what? I'm watching it right now because I want to know what he pulls up in, because it doesn't look like a Japanese import.
It's not. No, it's a real car, like an actual car. It's blue, though, like all of his cars. I can't tell. It's got a fun door.
Oh, it's an Acura.
It's the badass Acura.
Yeah, I think it's a badass Acura.
Okay. And it looks like
now they all have like, they have to like play supercars. As like the rich guys that they are. So,
but there are only five cars. There's more than five of them.
Yeah, some of them do carpool. Let's
see who gets Roman and Tej don't have
They cannot carpool.
No. So here's our gratuitous shot of Ramsey.
Cool shots, cool cars, and then like Ramsey coming out of the water.
Yes, yes. She's very attractive. We all know this. You already did it in the last scene, so don't do it again.
Well, they talked about it in the last scene, but now you get to see it.
Yeah,
you get
exactly.
She gets to back up the.
She didn't know, have to. Talk. I know.
This is a visual movie, Jonathan.
I like
this.
The fact is not that about talking. Hey,
when you're right, an actor on Game of Thrones and you get your first big movie, you know, you're going to say yes to everything.
Also,
you know,
she was naked in that. So she's like, what? I get to wear a bathing suit? Fine. I don't care.
Yeah, this is an upgrade. Yeah. Hey, this is, I'm feeling modest here.
Oh, just so you know, George, Brian is definitely CG'd into that scene.
You just looked it up?
Nope.
Can tell.
Just look at his face. Look at the way he grins at.
He just smiles and doesn't say anything. It's like, I'm sort of like, that's his CGI shot.
Yeah.
Well, also, I feel like it's almost like a split diopter shot because he's in focus and Vin Diesel's in focus. Look at it. Now look at it. You can't take your eyes off it because he is super in focus, like he's been digitally altered. Whereas Dom is also in focus and this movie doesn't do a lot of split diopter shots. That's not their bag. So
yeah, that's definitely a
mission. So if it makes you feel better to wonder if he was faking this, it's faked.
All right. I mean, I have to go through just to get a checklist of like, yes, no, no, yes, yes, no, no, no.
Did they need that shot though with him? I'm not sure they did. Cause it's really they're just Roman and Tej.
But you notice they don't show him again. They're all there. I think it was just literally so you'd be like, all right, everybody's sitting by the beach.
Family scene.
Why is the first thing? So you're a hacker. Mm-hmm. You're on a murder bus. Mm-hmm. You get rescued. You drive off a cliff. You almost die a couple of times. And then you go on a plane to Abu Dhabi. And it's like, okay, first thing I'm doing, I'm going to get into my hotel room, mm-hmm. get my swimsuit, mm-hmm. and go swimming.
Get my swimsuit and my denim jacket, and I'm going to go swim. Because she puts on a denim jacket. They were just talking about they're in the desert and it's hot. First thing she's like, I need to cover up. What's something that breathes? Denim.
I guess they're all kind of having some leisure time right now. They need a vacation after that that big job.
How long's it been? Do you think it's only been this is the next day?
Because you just said like let them know we're going to Abu Dhabi, or we're going to the Middle East
from Azerbaijan. So it's not a mass. It's not like they're going all the way around the world.
No, it's like it's probably like 2 hour plane ride.
Yeah.
And they're here because she has given it to a friend.
Yeah, she's like, this is where we have to go to like get the God's Eye information or whatever. And then we meet this guy. Is it, what's his name? This is the part I was watching while talking to you guys. So
yeah, what is his name?
It comes full circle.
It's the guy from Victoria and Abdul, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ali Fazel. His name is Is Ali Fazel the billionaire? It's Ali Fazel. Fazal? Is it Fazal?
Yeah. I'm glad.
He's her connection. He's her connection that they.
All right.
They
okay. Never mind. I looked up all the cars that are in that scene
because I believe the guy who plays the billionaire that we see in the next chunk is not actually from that part of the world. I'm pretty sure
he doesn't look it. No,
they picked a guy. It's like, you just picked a brown guy. That's not cool. Don't just decide.
Do you know that like people can go to Abu Dhabi who aren't from?
I mean, Abu Dhabi. I feel like there's probably a lot of immigration.
I agree, but I think JJ Gonzalez from San Antonio, Texas.
Yeah, fair enough.
They were there. They could have gotten an actor, I'm sure.
So what was it? What was in the lineup then, George? Five beautiful cars. The one was a Bugatti Veyron.
Yeah, the Bugatti Veyron, the Maserati Ghibli, which you would appreciate, Neil. Dodge Charger, a Lamborghini.
I wonder who was driving the Dodge Charger.
And then the Bugatti Veyron.
So now, I understand four of those cars being found. How do you find a Dodge Charger?
He brought it with him.
I guess. He has extra.
He's always
got
one.
We got to have room for my Dodge on the plane. Things.
But yeah, so Brian was driving the Ferrari.
Was he in the Maserati? No, was he in the blue one at the end?
Yeah, the blue one. He always drives blue cars.
Is that right? Is that a thing?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He's always in a blue car.
Yeah, Paul Walker always drives
blue cars. That song, I'm Blue, that's about Paul Walker.
Abu Dhabi. Oh, wait. And then there's a Dodge Striper, too. So that's also one. That's the five.
So the blue one. So what's his car?
Jeff's job for him.
What's Paul Walker's car? It's the blue one.
It's a Lamborghini.
Don't make me have Lambo? To edit this, guys. Please.
That's not the Lambo.
No one cares.
It's not important.
Literally, no one cares about the cars.
No one cares about the cars. This is Fast and Furious.
The next shot, remind me, are those three buildings real? Or are they CG for the movie? Those three.
Oh, are they? Do they exist in real life?
Yes. Are those? They feel fake in the shot. I know they in the all the jumping in between them and the next thing is all CG, obviously. But do those buildings exist? I don't know. I'm going with no.
I think so. I'm gonna go yeah.
I'm with George now. Now I'm seeing CG where there's no CG. I think it's CG. I think it's like Paul Walker. Those buildings are fake.
It looks like the Etihad Towers is a real thing.
Damn it.
But, I mean...
Are there three of them?
They could have been composite shot. There's five, apparently.
I know. There looks like there's like four. I can tell there's like four-ish, but there might be a fifth one.
But there. they only interact with three of them later on, which we'll talk about in the next chapter.
All right. If you say they're real, it looks fake.
I mean, this whole section kind of looks like... I was saying the desert looks weird to me. I wonder how much of it was actually on location in Abu Dhabi and how much of it was just like green screened.
Shot in Texas.
Yeah.
shot.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, not necessarily green screen, but like it could have been shot somewhere else and then they just sort of like edited it to make it look a little more.
I would
and
think
they could
with
have
this,
just had the scene and then like composited the buildings in the background.
I think with super producer Vin Diesel, yeah, you go to Abu Dhabi.
They want to go to the spots. They're like all of this shit was shot on location. Definitely. Had to be.
I mean, obviously not the.
I mean, I hope so.
The VX.
They want a nice vacation.
The VX shots. VFX weren't shots. Weren't shot.
Oh, there. Colorado.
Oh, Colorado's nice.
Colorado is nice, but it's no Abu Dhabi. Let's be honest.
Only parts. We have dunes.
Palm trees? Any palm trees? Colorado?
No, not those.
Any camels?
No.
Maybe.
At a zoo. Toes. Just the toes.
You might have to bring your own.
And so this chunk ends with our gang putting on prom tuxes.
Yep.
Which I love because these guys would not know how to dress well, except Tej. You know, Tej is the only one wearing Tej's suit is a well put together tailored suit. Everybody else is dressed like a 15-year-old going to a prom.
They sent them to the Mos Bros in Abu Dhabi and just like kit these guys up. Come on,
Roman and Vin Diesel are wearing cummerbunds.
They're definitely rental jobs.
You don't wear I mean, the cummerbund is so. Such an outdated, bizarre...
It's an unnecessary thing, isn't it?
Yeah, nowadays. You only wear those to, like, children's proms. There's no reason. Especially when... you notice Vin Diesel doesn't wear a tie, though. My God, can you imagine? Can't you wear a tote?
And you know he's got the tank underneath.
Oh.
Well, he's guess he's got to rip his shirt off.
Definitely. Know.
I mean, the ladies are dressed very nice. They have on also prom level gowns, though. Night out gowns. But the boys look like boys except for Tej. Tej looks like, I'm like, yeah, Tej. Black shirt, tailored, looks good.
I like that. It's low key. I like that. I mean, Roman is Roman, right? So he's obviously got the white tux.
I have a picture. I'll find it of me going to some dance and I'm wearing a white tuxedo jacket. Oh. To be 13
years old. You went as a waiter.
Basically, I looked like a waiter. I was wearing a cummerbund and tie that matched my dates.
Excuse me, can we get more bread?
Paul Walker only drives. No food. Only wears blue cummerbunds. That's what I understand.
Paul Walker, yeah, it's famous for that.
Yeah.
Paul Walker also not wearing a tie. God, I wish he was wearing
Vans. No, he's wearing a tie. He's wearing a tie. Yeah. He's got the gray suit, white shirt, gray tie.
Van shoes?
No Vans. No, he's wearing nice black shoes.
All right.
He's in a dinner jacket. He's formal tuxedo.
I would rather see Vin in a vest. Or, as you say, a vest.
A vest. But
he wears vests all the time, except this when he's actually might be better wearing a vest.
You know what I mean? A real vest. A vest. An American vest.
You don't know. Maybe that dress shirt's got no sleeves.
Oh, I guarantee it's underneath, it has those sleeves.
Or he's just gonna, he's like, listen, I gotta at some point gotta flex and make these.
He's gotta Hulk out and that thing.
And we'll see. I think he takes his jacket off in the next chunk.
He does. He's gotta do some lifting.
Do the deed. Yeah.
Gotta do some Superman stuff.
Can't wait to talk about that.
So, yeah, that's where this
every chunk in this movie. Every chunk in this movie has.
Every chunk of this movie has, because they've figured it out. Also, this movie's not only the best because it's the best because they said, hey, if someone ever watches this in four parts, each part needs to have a good morsel.
And it's also divided into even 35 minute chunks. They knew what we wanted. Yeah. This is for us.
This is because each chunk is something good.
It says for Paul, but it means it's for us.
It's for us.
For Paul and Jonathan and Marin.
If you shine a black light on the screen, it has our names underneath.
Don't do that. Yeah. It's not pretty.
Especially not in that party scene.
So yeah, we did it, guys. You did a whole chunk. Neil, you got to be on.
I'm so happy.
Thank you.
I'm very sad that it's now over.
That's okay. You can be on again. Just be like George. Just be available at all times.
At will. Just yes and. That's all you got to do.
That's how our show works. On a Monday, I'm like, you want to do a podcast? And they're like, when? Friday? Not good for me. Okay. How about Sunday? Sure. Okay. Let's do it. Yep. That's it.
Well, thanks for accommodating, you know, European time zones. And that's a bit of a bummer for you guys.
Nah, it's easy. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's fine.
Yeah. The sun's still shining here.
Doesn't bother me.
Well, anytime. I'd love to come back anytime.
Right. Wonderful. Well,
we can't wait to have the Grillsman back on. He's a true Grillsman.
The Grillman.
No, Neil. It's the Grillsman. Let us have this.
It's the Grillsman. Fine.
It's much funnier.
Multiple grills. I'm the man of multiple grills.
Yeah, you would never just use one. You would just have a whole array.
Different level, split level grill.
Yeah.
When you come back, you can be the Grillsman Golden Circle or whatever the sequel's called.
Golden Nuggets.
The Golden Nugget. Okay, that was, thought I had it right.
That'll do.
George, as usual, thanks for being around.
Hey, you know me. I have nothing else to do.
And Murren, thank you for being sloppy yet satisfying.
Oh, God, that's hot.
That's going to be our next t-shirt.
We haven't done one. We haven't made one shirt.
What have I been wearing this whole time?
Oh, are you wearing merch from t-shirt, the other maybe. Cast in the Furious show? There is another one.
if another Fast and Furious show has their merch, we should just link it to our page.
Yeah, just go buy this. That's fine.
I've already sent all of you Grillsman t-shirts. Don't worry.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Smells a bit of smoky.
Good. Like an ant.
That sounds great.
Like an ant after.
Nice.
After dinner ant.
What I like doing now, Murren, is just saying see you next week, because no one ever looks at the dates on these things. So we could just say the people
who knows.
No one knows.
See you next time.
So we'll see you next week, Murren.
It's been a long day without you, my friend.
It's been a long day.
Tell you all about it when I see you again. This is like Barry Gibb singing, like,
when I see you again to see you. Oh, Neil, can you sing it in the falsetto?
Been a long time.
Oh.
I don't know the words, though.
You don't have to just sing it like this, and it sounds just fine.
You, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell